We are talking with Sam Abel. She is the city manager for the city of Gulf Breeze. Hey, Sam, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Hey.
One more time. I'm sorry, we had the button off. Are you there?
Yes. Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Oh, great. Good to have you. So one thing, you and I were not able to talk the last time there was a meeting because you were at a thing out of town and we had some other stuff I remember going on as well. But big news item that came out of, I think, the previous city council meeting is this overpass for the multi-use path for the golf carts. It has finally gotten approved and budgeted, which we've been talking, you and I have been talking about this for years to be coming. Tell people what happened.
Yeah, so this is big. You know, the question we get all the time is, what is Gulf Breeze going to do now that you have so much more traffic that's going to be coming in with the new bridge and also with the widening of, you know, Highway 98 coming in the other way? So we're a peninsula. It's not like we can just, you know, grow our boundaries. And so we've been working with the FDOT since 2019, getting a lot of, you know, community consensus on an overpass across the highway. And a big step was made at our last council meeting. Our mayor and council approved the partnership for the design with FDOT. And so in 2023, there will be the design for an overpass from Shoreline Drive, which is on the south side of 98, and it will make a landfall on the north side in the public area. So that's big for our residents. Of course, we have the pedestrian overpass already.
Right.
But with our new multimodal overpass, you are seeing so many more residents who are using different types of motorized vehicles, not just golf carts. Andrew, it's incredible nowadays, all the things you can buy, even just Ace Hardware, these new electric bikes. And mm-hmm. It's especially cool to see all of our senior citizens who are out there taking advantage of that. And so hopefully it means that our commuters will not be sitting as long at our traffic lights because our local residents will be able to get across the highway more effectively.
No, that's fantastic news. And that path, I mean, you know, I don't get into Gulf Breeze proper all that often, but I was there for a Taste of Gulf Breeze Friday, which was fantastic, of course. And, you know, I'm looking at this path and I'm like, man, I'm seeing golf carts and people and bikes and all kinds of stuff, which is the way it's supposed to be. And like you say, people have the motorized skateboards and motorized monowheels and motorized bikes,
yeah.
And all the stuff. And it's wonderful to finally, down in the distance, maybe 2 years out, we can actually see a time when the two halves of the city will be connected in a way that doesn't, you know, run you across the traffic, which is great. Oh, I also had meant to ask you, because you and I had talked about this previously, but I see it's being installed, the football field. Over there, right behind City Hall, north of the community center. That was a grant funding project, right? And that's a brand new field because you and I think talked about that having been laid down for Sally. But maybe just give people an update if they see that when they're driving by. What's that all about?
Right. So that is Shoreline Field. It is our prior multi-purpose field is now being rehabbed as synthetic turf. It is being funded through bed tax dollars and through FEMA. So without FEMA's contribution after Hurricane Sally, we would not have that $250,000 to close that spending gap to make that possible. And so that's very exciting because, again, as a peninsula, we don't have a lot of field space.
Right.
The vision is to leave that open, you know, during the week and when you don't have games so that your community can enjoy it. You can have picnics. You can play, you know, some frisbee. You know, just out there, just as a community enjoying kind of like our new town green. You know, coincidentally, the multi-purpose field was built after Hurricane Ivan. And here we have after Hurricane Sally, you know, just trying to do the best and, you know, with what you've got and seize every opportunity. So really exciting. We wouldn't have had the original field if not for Hurricane Ivan, and you wouldn't have the new Shoreline field if not for Hurricane Sally.
Oh, yeah, that is kind of a fascinating thing. You also went to an annual, if I'm not mistaken, city manager conference, and I always think it's fascinating what people bring back from this opportunity to interact with other people doing your job all around the state or all around the nation. What did you learn?
Right, so the International City and County Managers Association is over 4,100 like-minded managers, Andrew. It is huge, if you can imagine, over 4,100 of us. And it's just a great opportunity annually to talk about the issues that are happening, you know, in the largest form of government nationally, especially this time of year. You know, you would not have council manager form of government if not for natural disasters that took place at the turn of the century. And they realized that with a strong mayor form of government, you had department heads who had supported, you know, the mayor and council during election, but might not necessarily be subject matter experts, certainly when it comes to after hurricanes. So there were hurricanes in Galveston, Texas. There was tornadoes in Ohio. And they wanted to come back with the same type of structure that you see where efficiency matters most, which is on the private sector. So we're set up just like a board and a CEO, which means that if I don't, you know, perform optimally, I can be let go. I serve at the will and pleasure of our board. What we saw at the conference is that there is right now a historic time where the, you know, partisanship and ideologies from a national level are impacting operations locally. And what I saw is a lot of my fellow colleagues who were just at a loss. You know, our job is to fill potholes, make sure the street signs, you know, are where they're supposed to be, and the sewer stays out of home. And now you're seeing individuals run for office who are not engaged in their community. They haven't volunteered in the past, and they're really there because of some national issue. And so that is really what the conference focused on, is how we can still effectively run the day-to-day operations when you have what is actually really very distracting happening from your mayor and council board. It was really eye-opening. The last 2 years were focused, of course, on COVID and how to retain and recruit employees. And here you really have a training of how we're supposed to handle this. And you know, what we were really told is that if it doesn't mean that you'll go to hell or jail, you got to do it as a city manager.
Because you serve at the pleasure of the council, whoever. And if those people get elected on partisan issues or, you know, issues of national significance but not relevant to local, and they give you, I'll say it for you, dumb commands, you know,
you
work for the people who make the dumb commands, you know, and not obviously not talking about our current city council, but the possibility that that change is coming based on the kinds of people who are running for city council seats.
Well, that's right. And so interesting, even here locally in Gulf Breeze, we're starting to see that. We do have some opponents for our mayor and council, and they're running on a platform called Families First. And their major platform is that if they're voted in, they will return $6,000 per resident.
I know I have not been deeply into Gulf Breeze politics for the election this year. There are people, their campaign promise is $6,000 a family if they get elected in Gulf Breeze.
Yes, and I have to tell you, for the first time in my entire career, I've had to ask, is that legal on a local level? Well, first off, you know, we don't have the money in our general fund. So then you're talking about ratepayer dollars and utilities that are bigger than the city of Gulf Breeze. And so you're taking ratepayer money in order to make a payment to the residents. And operationally, right, if it doesn't lead to, you know, jail or hell, city managers are to do it. And so is it legal for us to cut that check? I don't know the answer to that, but I'm in the position that, you know, for the first time professionally, I'm having to actually ask the question. And those are the types of things that city and county managers are having to wrestle with nationwide right now. And it's really interesting times.
Oh, well, interesting is a kind of, that's a euphemism. Here we're just going to give $30 million away to the residents of Gulf Breeze. Okay, maybe not. My goodness, wow. Again, you caught me totally off guard with that, but wow. So I can understand, yeah, those things change. I mean, we've certainly seen this at school board meetings. We've seen it to some degree at county commission. I just hadn't been seeing it yet at city council. But as you say, it seems to be a trend nationwide. So I guess we'll pay attention for that. Sam Abel, city manager of the city of Gulf Breeze. Sam, thanks as always for the time. I appreciate it. And thanks for the work.
Sure. All right. Thanks, Andrew.